This is The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Bring in the smart people. Because bringing the clowns is just not nice. I don't think that's a fair thing to do. They're smart people. Okay, we've got Matt Gurney here. He's co-founder and editor of The Line, online magazine and columnist for TVO. Now, Matt, you can also sign up and he'll actually just send you a nice email every day, which is nice. Jamie Ellerton is here, founding partner at Canaptus, along with still just one person, and a longtime political strategist. Hey, Jamie. And Aaron Morrison, longtime political strategist and now principal at Morrison Comms. There's a lot of long time. I don't want to make it sound like everybody's archaic. That's not
the case.
I've
been doing what I've been doing for like 12 minutes. So,
right? I mean, young and fresh.
Excluded. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Young and fresh, right?
There we go. Very good. Matt, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here as well. Matt, we'll start with you. And let's grab the clip from Sean Fraser because he was on the program earlier on. You might have heard the clip, but let's reset here with some of the things Sean Fraser said, the MP of Housing.
When we're putting money on the table, we're saying, if you want to make a deal with us as a provincial government, that's our preference. But in exchange for federal money, we want you to make certain changes. And we don't have time to waste. We need to move as quickly as we can. If provinces explain that they don't want to make the kinds of changes, we'll say, no problem. We're going to work with the cities in your province that do want to make those changes. And I can tell you already, there's a number of cities that we've already got Housing Accelerator Fund deals with that have accomplished some of the things we're now pushing provinces to do. And if provinces don't want to make those kinds of changes that make it easier to build homes, then we're going to support the infrastructure needs of communities who do make those kinds of changes.
Now, I did ask for specifics. There was a lot of use of things in there and cities. So Sean was good to us. He answered most of our questions somewhat, but it lacked specifics. And Matt, I got to tell you, this we specifically asked for not talking points, and we wanted people to feel like they understood something from the housing minister that made them feel like stuff was getting done. And this feels like sign up or get out a little bit when I hear it on the replay.
I'm fine with that. If that's your read of it, and I think generally speaking, that's my read as well. I would add in a pinch of just hardball, just negotiations, old school. Don't need you. If we can't get it with you, we'll get it from somewhere else. But if it is sign up or get out, I'm okay with that. And I wrote for TVO earlier in the week that I actually think in Ontario has made in other negotiations with the feds, Ontario has made fair points about running into some actual upper capacity limits on building new housing, supply chain disruption, skilled labor, things like that. But that only gets them so far. The pandemic only lasted so long. It's time for Ontario as a provincial government to either get serious or to get out of the way and allow the feds to hand out the bucks. As always, I'm skeptical of any federal commitment from this government. I think when the houses are built, let me know. But in terms of purely the politics of this, if they'd had Sean Fraser doing what he's doing 2 or 3 years ago, they're not in the position they're in today.
Well, he was actually doing immigration 3 or 4 years ago. So kind of the opposite, though, isn't it? He was part of the problem, in all fairness.
He might have been as good at driving new people into the country as he seems to be at getting new houses built now that they're here.
Well, I can tell you this, though. If there's anybody that knows the problem, it should be that guy. That's a fair ball, too. We did hear from, the audience that shared so many notes, Aaron Morrison, that this seems like more of the same, would like to see it. But the real breakdown is clearly between levels of government. Your comments on what Matt said or take it there.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it feels like politics has set us up to fail here. Sean Fraser and the federal government knew darn well when they were going to say fourplex as of right, and it's a all or nothing deal for the provinces, that Doug Ford was very likely to say, well, we'll leave it then. I'm not doing that. I don't want that. So, I mean, Doug Ford is wrong. Fourplexes should be as of right. This is not, we're not talking about building apartment buildings in residential areas. We're talking about a duplex with basement suites here. Like, this is normal. This is normal in a lot of cities, and we desperately need it. So I get the feeling that housing is falling victim to politics. I have to say, it's one thing to give Sean Fraser a little bit of, kudos for taking action and bringing some solutions here, but we're years behind. He has brought a water pistol to a blazing inferno when it comes to the housing crisis. fourplex as of right would be great. The renter's bill of rights. I mean, these are tweaks when what we need is massive building and big changes.
Yeah, and quickly too, Jamie Allerton, your comments on that.
Yeah, I think like part of the irony in all of this is just purely a rhetorical flourish and posturing as they're trying to get a contrast with Premier Ford opposing this measure. But the reality is, Shane, Brad Bradford, Toronto City Councillor, former chair of the Planning and Housing Committee, through his leadership last spring, before Olivia Chow was even mayor, legalized fourplexes as of right in the entire city of Toronto, including in the premier's own backyard in the part of the city of Toronto known as Etobicoke. So a lot of this is just the federal Liberal government trying to save some face after, frankly, falling asleep on this issue for the past 8 years and reaping the benefit. Now this has reached a fever point. They're trying to get some of their polling numbers back up by being on the right side of history and the right side of an issue. And Doug Ford is proving a really effective foil as he's frankly on the wrong side of history on this one.
You didn't make me feel any better, Jamie, about the fact that he called them four-story buildings, not fourplexes. Because I was like, he knows that they don't always have to be that tall. But debatable, it would appear. So especially if happening.
Take down a mansion, turn it into a semi-detached, and put two apartments on the top floor and two apartments on the ground floor. Boom. You now have a semi-detached, two houses, each with two units in it, and that is a fourplex. If that scares you, you probably need some counseling.
But instead of apartment living, you actually get a bit of a yard. It seems like a pretty nice place to create a life, doesn't it? Okay, this is Smart Speakers. I'm Shane Hewitt. The court strikes down parts of Ontario's panhandling law as unconstitutional. I am openly going to admit all of this conversation is new to me. By the way, you can't corner people on a bus, though. That, to me, seems like a pretty good start for allowing people to ride on the bus. So let's get started with the conversation there. And I'm going to throw that one to Aaron Morrison first.
I think nobody wants to be approached while they're at an ATM. Nobody wants to be approached when they're, you know, to be cornered on a bus, as you say, Shane. What the court is saying today, Superior Court Judge Robert Sentak, I think is his name, it basically says that this law wasn't balanced enough because it was innocent until proven guilty, flipped on its head, and essentially criminalized people for being poor in the vicinity where other people were gathered. So I think what the courts are really saying today is you can ask for help, but you can't do it in a way that's threatening or aggressive or that corners somebody. So I don't know. I think the court's got it right. I think it strikes a balance.
All right. So let's take it from there and keep going. Jamie.
Yeah, this is a 24-year-old law. I think when you read some of what the judge had to say, he clearly has a bit of a sense of humor. Like if a person's on the sidewalk high and has a sign asking for change, that shouldn't be legal. Like, I guess that's okay. But it talks about the aggressive nature in that part of the law. It's still being held up. So this is clearly a win for the nonprofit organization that was seeking to get this overturned. But I'm not sure they're going to be as happy with, given the kind of courts striking down some parts, but not another. For the average listener, they're probably happy that it's still illegal to be panhandled aggressively. And maybe one day that'll actually be enforced.
Yeah. Also, just it seems incredibly not successful to be a jerk when you're asking for money, Matt Gurney.
You know what? I get it. But I mean, I'm 6'4" and my default facial expression is a scowl. It's not the same thing as when my wife, who's smiley, bubbly and 5'2", is wandering around downtown and gets randomly approached. I'm not, you know, the idea of being approached in an aggressive manner is very much in the eye of the beholder. I understand the distinction the court is trying to strike here. I think, well, I mean, to Jamie's point, I mean, perhaps we could try enforcing this one day and we'll see how it works. But in the meantime, okay, the court has now struck a legally nuanced position that is not going to change a single thing actually out there in the city of Toronto.
Well, I also feel better and don't take it personally now when I talk to you on video call, Matt. It's nice. Appreciate that.
Also, only Matt Gurney can say he's scowling while smiling.
No, I'm smiling at you because I like you.
I don't know what that means for me and you, Aaron, but we'll take it from there and we'll come back and get more into all of this. The reality is I can't believe there are laws that say, by the way, don't be a jerk. So that's something that we have to talk about in itself. Smart Speakers will continue with more. It's The Rush. I'm Shane Hewitt.
You're listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Smart speakers, in fact. I'm Shane Hewitt. The smart people are Matt Gurney, Jamie Ellerton, and Aaron Morrison here as we bat the ball around on various topics, including an open letter to Canada's political leaders for the sake of the country's future from John Tory that was put out this morning.
You know, we sort of say the police are involved. Well, they're not. I mean, if all we do is have some kind of a big debate about what the role of the police should be in monitoring and controlling free speech, then we've got a serious problem. And so it's up to us. I mean, it's up to us to decide that we can protest.
The political discourse and the fact that it's vitriol, nobody can get along, and frankly seems to be a bit of a summary of our conversation about housing and all the other topics too. Jamie Ellerton, can we even put this back together again?
Listen, I'm a free speech maximalist, but a bunch of long in the tooth politicians writing an open letter should be banned. That should be like the one exception put into the charter. Long in the tooth politicians writing open letters bemoaning today don't get to publish their open letter and have it widely covered in the media. Listen, political discourse is indeed, you're kind of seeing fragmentation of our media ecosystem. So people are increasingly falling into their own niche camps, and there's definitely kind of a polarization, and the more extreme is obviously what flies on social. I think probably the bigger problem is that a lot of people who aren't on the extremes of the binary are just like checking out and can't be bothered with it. And I think that's actually a bigger issue in terms of what we're experiencing in society, as opposed to being stuck listening to the people screaming on either side.
Aaron Morrison, some would say that resignation is the most dangerous of all the things, though.
Yeah, apathy is dangerous. I agree with Jamie about that. When you've got, vitriol on the fringes, people in the middle tend to just bow out because they don't want that in their lives. They have better things to do. I had a little bit more of a brighter view of the letter itself, though. I mean, yeah, the list of signatories are some of the lowercase s senators of the country. They're not elected at the moment.
Little s. They're going to love that compliment.
But I mean, I think their heart's in the right place. I think their head's in the right place. I think they're identifying and addressing a real problem, which is the polarization out there. I think they gave us some real concrete examples of it. For me, I felt like they missed something in their recommendations and their calls to action. And that was, if this is a letter that is truly aimed at Canada's current leadership, lead by example. It's not in there. Lead by example. Harnessing, rallying, and stoking hate because it gets you votes. Harnessing anger because it, you know, gets more people out to your rally. Maybe it can win elections, but for sure it can ruin lives and it can leave really deep scars on this country. So, the kind of polarization that we've seen that leads to lock her up or that leads to the barbaric practices snitch line, I want that out of politics, and I want everybody who is elected today to cut it out. And I mean, let's be honest, the fringes of the Conservatives and Pierre Poilievre harnessing rage is problematic and it has to stop.
When we look at intimidation and protest, those are distinctly different. Matt Gurney, you can take the comment or take it there, wherever you go.
I would broadly agree with what Aaron was saying. I mean, in the sense of wanting that kind of stuff out of our politics. But what I would add, and Aaron, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade here, but I think you and I are both going to be disappointed. I think the incentives on this stuff all point to escalation, not de-escalation. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, if it gets better. I have been in the trenches on this stuff long enough to know that some of the most insane stuff is absolutely coming from the right. There is parts of it coming from every direction, though. And I'm not saying that in a what about sense. What I'm just saying is everybody's got their own story. Everybody feels justified to kick it up a notch. Everybody feels like they've been victimized by this. And we haven't even touched on the fact that we've gotten to this place in an era where we still at least had reasonable confidence that we were talking with an actual human being and that the videos we were looking at weren't edited or manipulated or created whole cloth. What's going to happen in a couple of years when exact segments we're doing right now put enough copies of our voices into the digital ether that someone is able to create a completely fake smart speakers panel featuring all of us saying abhorrent things? We got this bad just dealing with good old-fashioned human stupidity. let's amp that up with the power of AI, we're in deep trouble. Like, guys, like, I'm thinking about going back to a typewriter and maybe Morse code on a telegraph. I don't have faith anymore in half of what I see online. When that's exploited by people who are trying to stoke the anger, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, let me take that, because it's hard to convince a fish that he lives in water, right? It's all he's ever known. And this whole, I know you are, but what am I mentality is sometimes these people on any stripe don't realize that they're actually the conspiracy theorist, if you will. And I'm going to fast forward us to our next segment right now. And it's a yes or no question. It's a very honest question. You can decline if you like, because this is where we're at, right? Not knowing who is the cause and effect of these statements. Have you ever lost a family member due to a conspiracy theory? Now, that's a much bigger leap than what we're talking about here. But if we're going to talk about people that are stoking things, I'm going to take this opportunity to do that. And so, yes or no, have you lost a relationship because of a conspiracy theory? And I'll explain why in just one sec. Jamie, would you mind answering that?
No, I've not.
Okay. Have you, Aaron, lost a relationship because someone's conspiracy theories?
No, but have lost hours of my life fruitlessly arguing.
Very no, that's very good too. And Matt Gurney, what about you?
Yes. It's I have a complicated answer, but the answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Now, here's the thing. We actually could have the conspiracy theory in their eyes. And that's to your point about this extreme vitriol thing, right? Like, they actually think that we're not centrist in the conversation, or we're not blank canvas in all of it. So we are going to talk about that from the family perspective next. Thanks for that. If you have lost a relationship because of a conspiracy theory, 416-872-1010. Let's just throw that one and leave it there. Okay. Walking out of stores with stuff without paying it, Aaron. This was a great idea. What could possibly go wrong? Looks like Amazon is backtracking on that plan.
What could possibly go wrong? I think what Amazon found here is that they've had just as many staff sitting at cameras spying on the people who were buying groceries than they actually would have had checkout folks. I think I come from communications. I think grocery stores that are going to self-checkouts, I think the problem they are having is a trust problem. And right now, shoppers are not inclined to trust the stores. And so it feels bad when the stores say, yeah, I don't trust you.
Jamie Ellerton, spying is a big word. I think it could be accurate. Your thoughts quickly.
Yeah, I was disappointed. This was like the worst run Wizard of Oz scheme with like multiple men behind the curtain at a computer halfway around the world. I actually used one of these stores only one time that I know of. I was at T-Mobile Park, which is where the Seattle Mariners play. I was out there with some family for a Jays series a couple summers ago. And let me tell you, it's pretty cool to like walk in the area, grab the Twizzlers, a couple of beers, and whatever else we walked out of there with. And boom, like my credit card was charged. I got the Apple Pay notification like seconds later. I thought it was pretty cool. I think it'd be a great boost for productivity if people could otherwise be doing other things than doing that checkout. So to find out it was all... The worst, it was the wizard's curtain.
Absolutely. Jamie, I got to move on to Matt so we can squeeze him in. Matt, it's a very dangerous way to get beers quickly, but it looks like they're pulling the pin. I just need 15 seconds if you could.
I can do it in three words, and I've said them already. Typewriters and telegraphs.
Going you forgot back log cabin stuff in the woods.
Yeah, very good. A wood stove and a well. And
we're going back in time.
We're all invited.
All right, so there we go. We got Jamie Ellerton, Matt Gurney's favorite, Aaron Morrison, and I'm Shade Hewitt here with Smart Speakers on The Rush. Thank you, everybody, for being here.